Today we are in the final of our three sermon series based on the verse for the year. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In week one, Ian told us how this verse fitted into the passage about Nicodemus. Last week, Ruth spoke about the cross, which shows the undeserved love that God has for everyone. And today, I'm talking about the resurrection. When we reflect back to the story of Nicodemus, we hear Jesus telling Nicodemus, "It is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, and everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, eternal life." Nicodemus was being told that he needs to be reborn, which highlights the spiritual transformation that is at the centre of the Christian faith. The Son of Man is the link between heaven and earth. The resurrection of Jesus transforms us by the love of God, and then that flows into everything that we do. The resurrection is one of the greatest and most mysterious and perplexing events. There are many explanations about the resurrection, but in the end, it comes down to a decision of the mind and the heart. It is a choice for us to see that there is triumph of life over death, love over hate, of light over darkness. Lee Strobel, author of A Case for Christ, like so many before him, set himself the task of disproving the resurrection. A Harvey-trained lawyer, a reporter for the New York Times, he carefully researched all the evidence. He looked at the evidence of the empty tomb, the grave clothes, the reaction of the disciples, all the gospel accounts, even forensic evidence. In the end, he had what he calls a conversion of the intellect. Like Sherlock Holmes, once he had eliminated all the other possibilities, only one remained. Jesus did rise from the dead. But what is more interesting is that over time, he found a change coming over his life. He had been a pretty work-obsessed father and husband, absent from his family and marriage. But the more he entered into the possibility of the risen Christ, the more he found himself becoming a better person. One day, it all came to a head when he overheard his young daughter, Alison, talking to his wife. "Mummy," she said, "why has Daddy become a better daddy?" Lee was being transformed. As we read our Bibles, we can clearly see that Jesus spoke about what would happen to him, though at the time the disciples didn't understand. But Jesus did talk about the crucifixion and the resurrection from the dead. "The Son of Man will be killed and after three days rise again." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." The resurrection is not just a static story that happened in history over 2,000 years ago. It is when God's future comes rushing into our presence. That is not just to calm our fears, though that is a very welcome reassurance in a world of much horror, but to strengthen our resolve to work now for the heaven on earth that is our future. It is a celebration of life over death. It is a place in human history where evil, injustice, and prejudice are transformed into goodness, justice and enlightenment. This beginning of a new type of justice is possible through the hard work of prayer, persuasion, and political action to make governments on one hand and revolutionary groups on the other see that there is a different way to that of unremitting violence, of fighting force with force. It is our faith that helps us to walk and speak with the risen Christ and to receive that gift of eternal life. And as we do, we can have a profound effect on the way that we show love and care for others, the community, and the environment in all the choices we make. Jesus, by his death and resurrection, brings about a new community born by that extravagant love of God's for all people. Jesus, in giving his life, has restored life. Sins are forgiven and all humanity is reconciled to God. It is as we walk alongside others that we get and give encouragement. Today, we see the risen Christ when we see our scars and the scars of others. The scars of life on people like us who are imperfect, people who struggle with doubt, people with a past, with regrets and disappointment, people who do what Jesus did and reach out and care for others and love others. As Christians, we are called by name to help others, to model a caring lifestyle, so that others can hear Jesus calling their names and recognise the vast, free, unchanging faithfulness of the love of God. The resurrection asks us, have we encountered the risen Christ? Are we listening to the voice of God? That voice that knows us in our darkness and transforms it into light, our despair into hope, our love into purpose. As God works in the midst of all our tears, as Isaiah tells us in chapter 25, verse 8, the Lord will wipe away tears off all our faces. David Moxham, in his book, Wings of the Morning, quotes Thomas Merton's view on the resurrection. Christianity may or may not make sense to you, the reader, but perhaps the resurrection can make sense. It is a process of being reborn, moment to moment, in a freedom that is wise and sensitive to the inner connectedness of all things, compassionate in its empathy for all living beings and centred in the very mystery of God. We understand resurrection where we taste a freedom and freshness that lies in the very depths of our lives. From our perspectives as a Christian, this freedom and freshness is the living Christ, the resurrected one. He does not have a body that is located in space or time. He is more like the wind or our own breathing or the skies. The resurrected one is the very freshness of God, the very freedom of the holy wisdom, as a centre that is within us and beyond us, ever present, yet ever new. There is a freshness and freedom in the very centre of things. In this freshness and freedom, we find our roots and our wings. It is our faith that helps us find our roots and our wings each time we share communion together, when we remember Jesus' death and resurrection. By breathing in his spirit in prayer, by reading and hearing his thoughts, parables and visions in the gospel. As we do these things, Christ becomes for us the living bread, life-giving breath and living words. Christ becomes food for our journey. In the resurrection, God promised that all the harsh realities of life, hardship, struggles, loss, fear, disease, hunger, death, these realities, though painful as they most certainly are, do not have the last word. Rather, the resurrection promises that God's light is more powerful than darkness, that God's love is stronger than hate, and that God's life offers through Christ prevails over all things, even death itself. Each time we reach out to others with kindness, caring, challenging, we live the resurrection. We become someone with skin on, making the same unconditional commitment to love one another, a powerful transforming experience in each other's lives. Finally, the power of the resurrection lies not just in the fact of it having happened, but rather in the affirmation of life in a world where God is now set loose and everything is turned upside down. Death and the grave are not the end of our life stories. Jesus has defeated death and now offers eternal life to all who put their trust in him. The resurrection is at the very heart of our faith. Our task with the resurrection is to make the risen Christ known to all and to bring God's kingdom here on earth. God is light and God is love. So may the risen Christ walk with you today, tomorrow, and every day. Amen. We now